In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us quiet in the beginning of these services for a short prayer with the words of one hymn. Now, Lord, when the morning comes, I bring my humble thankfulness. When once again last night you gave me rest, also all my dear ones, you took care of, and you traveled with us, and you gave your peace. You let new morning to come, and the night is gone, and the daylight won, and the new day came. Blessed that in your way I would travel also today, and I would always go after your will, O Lord. Help me to use your day well and to make my duties with faithful heart. May your spirit rule whatever I do. He with the new strength of grace will take care of me. In Jesus' name, amen. I shall read for the introduction from the 18th chapter of St. Luke. The verse is 18 to verse 27. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful. He said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. This Bible passage begins with the most important question in the earth. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? People are different than the animals, as human beings can ponder these important questions, like the purpose of the life, what is the origin for everything, or what is the direction of our life. This matter has not changed after Jesus' time, even though we know much more than earlier. But still, people are wondering and pondering the same things, and also trying to search answers for those. A rich man was now searching for the answer to the most important question. So how man will be saved? But the one who asked this question had some kind of own feeling that how man will be saved, when he was asking that, what shall I do? I was earlier as a pastor in the state church, and I had many confirmation schools, and And they are normally tests in the end. And I many times do that through the conversation with the students. And one central question was that how man will be saved. And the question or the answer by the students had that one should do well and do good deeds. And I would say that probably we would get similar answers if we go and ask from people here in Finland and also elsewhere. I assume that this type of answer would be very typical and also very understandable. Our, according to human will, human reasoning, the understanding is so that we get the, according to our deeds, both the reward and also the punishment. Also the law of Moses teaches us that the eye from eye and teeth from teeth. Jesus explained about the last judgment day, how people raised from their graves. Those who have done good, they will raise to the resurrection of the life, to heaven, and those who have done evil, they will be punished. From this answer that Jesus gave, looks that Jesus gives a very significant, big importance for this law of Moses, because he answered that question of the rich man, thou knowest the commandments. And then he details some or gives some commitments. Dear brothers and sisters, how is this matter actually? We are not used to hear at services. We have heard that person is not saved by doing good deeds, but only by grace, only through the merit work of Christ, as also Luther teaches us. Have we then learned something wrong? It is not so. But we need to watch and to read the Bible as the whole. One old principle is that we should explain the Bible by using the Bible also in this text. However, I don't go any deeper to that relation between the deeds and because in the next, in the worship services, there is probably the gospel text which also handles that matter. So maybe we can hear something more there then. But we can go back to that answer of Jesus to that rich man or to that ruler, that rich young man. Whatsoever depends on which gospel writer we use, then Jesus answered, thou knowest the commandments. He did not want to say to that rich man that he will be saved by following the commandments, but actually just opposite. Jesus wishes to point out to that man that the foundation of hope for that young man towards the eternal life was totally wrong. That man called Jesus a good master, and Jesus wanted to show him that by accident he had actually said Jesus just right, because he had said him as, because he is God. But he said that, why thou callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. But that didn't open to that young man, so Jesus then tried another thing and by detailing his commitments. And when Jesus had done that, we can almost hear here, 2,000 years after, how that young man got revealed, because he then said that all things have I kept from my youth up. But we know how Jesus and Apostle Paul and many other Bible authors have shown that none can do fulfill the law. But even that did not open that matter to that rich man. So even if he would have been able to fulfill the law, still Jesus saw the heart of that man, and he noticed that his heart was connected to the riches of this world. Another gospel writer, Mark, also very beautiful way described how Jesus wanted the best for that man. Jesus didn't want to let that young man be without care, but Jesus watched unto him and he loved him. Now we get to the central point here. Jesus says to that rich man that one thing thou lackest, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have the treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now we no longer here realize that man would be released or feeling good, but he got very sorrowful. Now there was kind of the force majeure for his fate, so he couldn't believe. But in some way that rich man understood that his salvation depends on Jesus. He had come to Jesus to ask that how man will be saved. But still, he did not want to hear Jesus' teaching. He would have liked to get the assurance that all things are good, that he has peace with God. But he didn't want to hear what Jesus taught and said. He was not ready to be satisfied for that great grace and forgiveness and caretaking that Jesus offered, but rather his treasure was somewhere else. Where your treasure is, there is also your heart. That is also what God's word teaches us. Dear hearer of the word, have you had some treasures here on earth which would have made it impossible for you to believe and trust? Has it felt so that I could believe all other things, but I cannot accept this one? I cannot give it up. Or maybe not now, but maybe someday later. Before this sermon we sung that may the earthly treasures go from the, because I get the treasure from the resurrected one. And I do not care about the earthly things. Nothing can separate me from my Lord, from my Savior and Redeemer. Jesus says to his hearers and those disciples, when this rich man has departed, that how hard for those who are rich, how hard for them it is to get into the kingdom of God. What was this possession or treasure that made it impossible for this man to enter into the kingdom of God? Is it so that if he has so much money in the bank account or some other possession, that there is nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Do we need to sell everything and to share for the poor? In this society, also during the time of Jesus, many things are around the money. But also these services wouldn't have been arranged here at Reisjärvi if there is no money and no good, no much work to make everything here. It has required to have earthly possession. The money is also needed for you here service guest that you have been able to get here to listen, or that you are able to hear that through radio or some other device. And isn't that also telling some the Bible about some such believers who received lots of possession? For example, the patriarchs or the kings of Israel. But also disciples were astonished and pondering that how hard for rich is to enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus just continued. And he pictured that for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It has been hard for me to get that rope through the needle eye. So I am thinking that the camel and a needle eye has nothing to do with each other. Camel is very large, big animal, and can simply no go through the needle eye. And that also disciples understood. Many Bible passages, verses, exhort us to do, to be responsible and to work towards the nature in a responsible way, and also to share from our own possessions for those who are in the need of help. So it is according to God's will. And we can say that God's will is that we would act in that way. And Jesus also said himself to his disciples when he sent them to preach the gospel among the Israelites. He said that you have received as gift great gifts, also given gifts. But also among Jesus, there were rich, wealthy people. You remember how Jesus was buried in the grave which was owned by the Joseph Arimathean, who was a rich man. So to be Jesus' follower, the prerequisite seems not to be so that we should give everything out in order to follow Jesus. But it can be. So this rich man loved too much the earthly possession and the opportunities it provides. The gospel writer doesn't open up that much more, but maybe this rich man trusts more that how with the earthly riches he is able to meet in an easier way the difficulties of the life. He couldn't trust in God's care and possibilities that God has, even though this rich man had stopped around the most important question of the life. But he was not ready to receive the gift that Jesus would have liked to grant to him. The rich man had his own obstacles that the enemy of the soul had built before him. What kind of obstacles have you had? The enemy of the soul has, from the beginning, tried to stray person of that enemy of the soul. It is said in the Greek language, diabolos, which means the one who causes arguments or tries to separate others. So the enemy of the soul wants to separate us from God and from each other and try to make arguments between us. The enemy of the soul wishes to get our faith to look stupid and poor. And he also wishes to get the earthly treasures to money and power and prestige to show so good and tempted that each one of us are tempted by those. And he wishes to get those to look much more valuable than the treasures of the God's kingdom. The name of the soul knows our weaknesses, and he is able to hit to those weak points. When Jesus was baptized, it said how he was brought to the desert, and the enemy was teasing Jesus. He tried to get the hungry Jesus to change the stones to bread and everything else, and to bow him. Also for us, such similar temptations are familiar. The worries of this earth life that we all need to meet and we easily try to search solution from the treasures of this world. Or am I safe when I am young and healthy? Or if I know, have so much wisdom or a high position in the or life, standard of life, do it go so that some earthly treasures get as such? By using those, I can then solve all my problems. Or does the worldly life and living get so much more important than the faith? Isn't the faith, the narrow way, quite poor compared to the worldly life? Or maybe we can just now not to believe and just live worldly way and then later on repent. And those are the sermons of the enemy of the soul. Or does the honor shown by other people, does that become a treasure for us? I cannot belong to a group of which it is written all kind of things, which is many times said about believers, or what our friends or family members think if I belong to that group. Such and many other obstacles we may get through the enemy of the soul and by our own flesh, even though God would like to grant us great gift. And these are not temptations which are only for us who are living now, but the similar obstacles have been always there during the Jesus' time and before. The Gospel writer, St. Luke, explains how Jesus used the parable of the father who arranged great feast and called service guest or the feast guest. Some, but people didn't want to come. Some had bought field, some oxes, some had got married. And those ones who were called, they just didn't come. Then the father, the master, sent another call for poor and weak people, and they came. So whatever things which gets as an obstacle to faith, it is can be the same kind of riches that this rich man of our text had. According to Bible and according to God's word, we have to become poor. We have to understand that we have no possibilities to save ourselves, but we have to receive that riches that God wishes to give us. The disciples became worried. They started to wonder that who can then be saved? Then Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Therefore, one thing was wrong initially in the question of the rich man when he was asking that, what shall I do to inherit into eternal life? But one cannot do simply anything with all his gift. Jesus was the only one who was perfect person. And for that reason, he was capable to redeem and to atone our sins. I don't think that it is an accident that in the same chapter, he said, after this text, disciples asked for Jesus, that, what do we get when we have given up everything and we have started to follow Jesus? I do not stop for a longer time to this one. But the question came to my mind, that can also this, that giving up everything, can it also be a treasure for us? But in the end of this sermon, I would like to take a look at what Luke tells before this text or person. There's a very familiar Bible, well-known Bible portion, which is also in the St. Mark's Gospel, which is the Gospel for children, where disciples prevented people to bring gifts for him. But Jesus takes the kids, the children unto him and blesses them. And then he says to disciples that the kingdom of God is for little kids, little children. And whosoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God as a little child cannot enter therein. Many times the baptism, I have explained how the little child is totally dependent on the caretaking of the parents. The little child, baby, couldn't survive even a day if he or she wouldn't be taken care of and fed and loved. Jesus, God wants that we accept to be little children for him, that we would receive that caretaking, love and food that he wants to give to us. And it is so much more than this world can ever provide us. Jesus said to his disciples that whosoever for my sake has given his house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or field, or he receives 100 times more the houses and sisters and brothers and children and parents in this life, but also he gets persecution. But in the everlasting life he gets, or the, yeah, after the life he gets the eternal life. This rich man departed from Jesus, and many other departed from Jesus. They didn't want to hear. They couldn't tolerate what Jesus taught. How about you, dear hearer of the word today? Would you also like to go out? I don't want to get you out. Neither Jesus wanted to get the rich man away from him. The Bible and God's word exhorts us to put the sin away, not to put faith away. Our faith is not based on the good endeavor, but that we again and again want to receive the gospel and the forgiveness of sin and the caretaking. And Jesus asked from the disciples that, would you also like to go out? Then Peter answered Jesus, Lord, to whom should we go? Because you have the words of the everlasting life. Dear brothers and sisters, it doesn't pay to hear the whispers of the enemy of the soul, the temptations of this world, or the preferences of the flesh and blood. But as Moses, it makes sense to look at the reward, no matter which type of phases we need to meet here in the life, temporal life, but in the everlasting life, the heavenly treasures are waiting for us, and no earthly treasure can compete with those. Here, many things we are lacking, but in the heaven, the perfectness we'll get. Therefore, dear ones, remain to believe, securely believe, that all your sins, all your doubts, all your temptations are forgiven in Jesus' name and in His precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. So it is secure to believe and to make journey towards the everlasting destination. And the same gospel I also wish to provide to you, such listener who feel like you are the rich man, that you have been searching for the solution for your salvation with the temporal treasures. Give those away and receive the endless love and grace of God. Jesus said, I leave you peace. My peace I give to you. Not such peace that the world giveth. This peace you also can receive. And the God assures in His word to you that also your sins, even the unbelief, is forgiven to you in Jesus' name and blood. That same gospel also I would like to hear, and I want to hear and ask, can I also believe my sins, doubts and temptations forgiven? Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. I wish together with you to remain believing. Before this sermon we sung and we said secure words, so we can remain believing and trusting against the power of the enemy. We can get the security from Jesus, even though the enemy is trying to take us, but Jesus saves us. The stormy and sins get, but still Jesus gives the peace. So remain in the caretaking of Jesus and His word. In Jesus' name, Amen.